you're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Tony Giles has visited over 130 countries, all seven continents and every single US state. He's blind and 80% deaf in both ears and has shared his experiences of travelling through his writing. He's here today to talk about his adventures, his books and share some tips for other blind and partially sighted travellers. Hi Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
So can you tell us about your sight loss journey?
Yeah, so I was born with a rare eye condition called cone dystrophy and photophobia. Basically means I have no colour cones. So technically born blind, I couldn't open my eyes in any light. And I was diagnosed when I was about 10 months old. So I'd never seen any colour, but because my eyes were very sensitive to light, I could see or more likely sense shapes and shadows from a young age. I was given dark glasses around the age of 3. Then I was able to open my eyes in light and run around and do normal things. When I was 5, I went to a school in Bristol, about 20 miles from where I grew up. That was lots of different disabled children. And I learned to read and write with very big black letters on white paper. They were really big. And then I could sort of sense the shapes. But also about the age of 8, 9, sensitivity to light had really gone. So I went to a boarding school in Coventry where I learned Braille, learned to use a long cane and become independent. And I went deaf when I was 4 or 5, just a little bit. It's also nerve damage, and my hearing's got slowly worse as I got older. And I now use digital hearing aids in both ears.
And when did you first get the travelling bug? Can you remember your first holiday?
Yeah, so I've been to 134 countries now, and 193 on the UN list. My dad told me stories of when he was in the Merchant Navy when I was a child. He described icebergs floating up the ship's sides. Described travelling across Australia from the east coast to the west coast and taking 8 days. That fascinated me. And then when I was at boarding school, we got to play with tactile maps of the world. I could feel the continents, and also we had a tactile globe. So that really interested me. But when I was 16, I got the chance to go to Boston in America with the school, and everything was so different. The traffic went in a different direction. Everything felt bigger. Pavements were huge, and I could feel the space with my body. And people were different, and I thought, I want more of this. So I went back and eventually studied there for 5 months, American history and politics. And while I was there studying in 2000, a friend, we went and built chaos in California, and I realized I could travel by myself, and I loved it. I thought, this is what I want to do.
And when did you go from going on a few holidays to the States to being like, okay, I'm going to travel to every single country in the world?
It sort of kind of happened gradually. I never woke up and thought, right, I want to visit every country. It sort of happened gradually. I went to America, then Australia and New Zealand, and then thought, I've got so much confidence and this is quite easy. Let's go to Vietnam and Thailand, which was somebody totally different culturally. No infrastructure. You'd be walking along a pavement and suddenly be a giant hole in front of you, or traffic everywhere. And this is exciting. And then several years ago, I had a kidney transplant. I got kidney disease. We don't really know why. And when I was in hospital having my transplant, I suddenly decided, well, I want to get this kidney, my body will be new. And yeah, I want to travel. I want to try and visit every country. Why not?
And what are some of the challenges or huge cultural differences that you have experienced as you've been traveling?
Well, the challenges are that once you sort of leave Europe, the USA, Canada, Australia, you've got less infrastructure. So like over there, you know, the pavements are going to be reasonably easy to navigate. You know, traffic's going to go in a certain way, and you can use lights to cross. Once you go to Africa and Asia, there's no traffic lights. When I was in Vietnam the first time in 2002, somebody told me, oh, there's bicycles, 5,000 bicycles moving at once, and you just move with them, and a gap will open up, and that's how you cross the street. It's like, okay. And then I realized, well, I just listen to the people and follow them. And I can hear their feet, footfalls and them talking. And yeah, and you manage to get a call. And I've always been lucky. I've always found, like, even when I go to difficult countries like Russia, where I can't speak the language, or West Africa, where mostly French, I always find someone who can speak a little bit of English or doesn't know, but I'll know someone else who does. And like when I travel, when I book accommodation, I always get the address of where I'm staying. So even if I get completely lost, I can shout taxi, which is pretty universal in every country, and get back to where I'm staying. But it is a challenge, but I just adapt to things and trying to be very open-minded. And I trust people, which maybe I shouldn't, but that's how I travel.
And I know it will be hard to choose highlights out of all of your trips, but are there one or two?
Yeah, my first bungee jump in the middle of nowhere in New Zealand, that was incredible because I didn't really know what was going to happen. Once you've done one, you kind of know what the others are going to be like. But I was standing on this bridge, three people watching and a dog apparently, and they tied this rubber thing around my ankles and they say, right, one, two, three, we you fall forward and okay, and you sort of drop and drop, and then the bungee recoils and you go bang, it's like hitting a brick wall. And I loved it, mainly because it was the unknown. So that was one highlight. Going to Syria, I just recently come back from a 9-day trip in Syria with a group of like-minded travelers. And I'm not someone who really likes traveling in groups because people sort of not that talkative and don't really know to what to do with a sort of blind person. But I found this group really responsive because they've also done a lot of independent traveling, and seeing somewhere like Syria, which is pretty much off the beaten track, was amazing. And the food was incredible, and the people that make a country, they were so friendly, so hospitable. They welcomed the Israel into their home. Yeah, very, very warm hearted.
And do you have any tips that you'd recommend for other blind and partially sighted travellers?
Yeah, do your research. Research where you want to go, whether it be in your own country, your own city, or another country. Find out as much as you can. Might find out about money, how you can get from airport or bus station to your accommodation safely. Take a spare cane, spare tips. I take spare helium batteries. Once I'm out of the UK, Europe, they're much more difficult to find. But if you're really nervous about going somewhere but want to, try going with a friend to start with, or even a family member. Have fun. Remember to have fun.
And if people want to read about your adventures in more detail, you've got your blog, which you really regularly update, and your books. Where can people find those?
Yeah, so my website's tonythetraveller.com, and then people can find my ebooks online at the usual ebook places. My first book, Seeing the World My Way, is in the RNIB catalogue in Braille and on Audio Daisy. Unfortunately, the other books are not on audio yet, but hopefully one day.
Well, thanks so much, Tony Giles, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio to tell us all about your global adventures.
Thanks. Take care.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.